Isn't Halacha Aleph still? We are on Nun Dalet Amud Beis, if I can recall correctly. We are where it says Rabbi Chiya Bar Va. Well, we don't have Bar Va, just have Rabbi Chiya B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, do you have it? Okay. Got it? Everybody has it? Rabbi Chiya. Now, this is not Rabbi Chiya the Great, the Tana. This is actually Rabbi Chiya Bar Va. And I actually have Rabbi Chiya Bar Va in my Gemara. Rabbi Chiya Bar Va, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Sene Rabbi Yochanan. What? It couldn't be the Rabbi, of course. The Rabbi. Our Mishnah is going like Rabbi. Our Mishnah says that one is allowed to put wine into one's fish brine. The Tanya, we learn Yain Lemurias, wine into fish brine. Rabbi Mati, Rabbi says permissible. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon Oyser. Eliezer Shimon says you're not allowed to put wine of Truma into fish brine. Why is that? Because the only reason why they put it in, from Rabbi Shimon's perspective, is in order to take away an off taste. And therefore, it's an improper use of Truma. Not only is it an improper use of Truma in and of itself, but interestingly enough, the Mepharshim say it's not Nosei Tam. Whereas it takes away the off taste, it doesn't give its own favorable taste. And that in and of itself is a problem with Truma, because Truma is supposed to enjoy, and you're not enjoying the Truma by eating it this way. Lefichach, therefore, the flip side of this is, Imav Menasna, what if he did put wine into brine, fish brine? Rabbi Osozoim, Rabbi says, this is a legitimate way by which you can eat Truma, and therefore this remains forbidden for non-Kohanim. Rabbi Lezer Shimon Matuz, Rabbi Lezer Shimon says, however, since this is the whole reason why he forbade putting the wine to fish brine is because it loses its status and its flavor and everything. So therefore now, once you transgress to put it in, it's mutter for a non-Kohen to eat.
Is that the Rosa ben Shimon ben Yochai?
No, couldn't be. Couldn't be. Because this is... it is. I'm sorry. This is Rabbi and Rabbi Lezer Shimon. Yeah, it is. This is son of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. I'm sorry. Rabbi Mana bar Tanchum, boy. Ramana Batanchum asks the question, Ladivim Mishamati, the Zoran Koyan Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shimon, who permits this for non-Kohanim, Muria Shogoyim Lama Aser. Why do we forbid buying fish brine from non-Jews? The assumption is that the fish brine of non-Jews is also because of they put wine, right? Yainesach. But if you're going to say the wine is nullified when it's present in the fish brine, so Chundasa the fish brine. So we're going to have a couple of answers. First answer, Rabbi Yehi B'Shem Rabbi Chiya Bar Va said, Mishum Bishulei Goyim. It's not also because of the wine, but because of Bishul Akum, because they cook the fish brine. Okay? Hosi Rabbi Yehi, seriously asked a question, this, he didn't like this. But Tiny Miller Bar Yisrael, Shel Uman Muter, the brine of a craftsman is permissible. The brine of a person who's not a craftsman is awesome. It seems like if you are a good enough chef, you can make good fish brine without the wine. If you weren't such a good chef, you made fish brine only with wine. Okay, so then it's not permissible. Of the uman mutter, when it says that which is made by a craftsman is mutter, lava fil mavushal, it doesn't draw a distinction. It sounds like even if it's cooked, with the kava osa and vice versa, sheino uman osa, if it comes to a person who's not a craftsman, it's forbidden. Lava fil eino mavushal, even if it's not cooked. So we see it clearly that it has nothing to do with cooked or not cooked, it must have to do with something else. Because then there would be no distinction between craftsman or not craftsman. Well, rather, must have to do with the presence of wine. And therefore, Akasha comes back. Okay? Now, as an aside, why is there no Bishul Akum here? Because it's not Olo Shulchan Melachim. It's not served at state dinners, right? And we know anything which is not served at state dinners to significant people doesn't have a... doesn't have a status of doesn't require Bishul Yisroel. So therefore, I'm assuming that fish brine was talking to be significant food. It was like like a snack or something which you cooked in, whatever. So therefore, it's not a problem Bishul Akum. It's only a problem of wine. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Bar Moria, and this is a parenthetical remark we're about to learn. The Yochum Bar Moria said, Afilu, even, Kimanda Marshal Uman Mutar, even according to people which holds that when it was made by a craftsman, it's permissible, Uvachioda, you have to know. So you have to be able to trust him. You know that he's a trustworthy fellow. If you don't know he's trustworthy, so maybe he did put in wine. Now, Hada Amra, getting back to the question we asked before, why is the fish brine mutter when you put the truma in, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, yet the fish brine is usser when there's truma wine in it? So it says, Amra Amra, Hadoyas truma muteres, Hadoyas Hanoyas Avodazora Asura.
Very simple. Because there's no taste. There's only benefit. A non-Kohen is allowed to benefit from Truma. But a non-Kohen is not allowed to benefit from Avodazora. And if there's the Ayin Nesson there, you're benefiting from Avodazora. The benefit in and of itself is awesome. Okay, we're on the top of Nun Hayim and Aleph now, for those who have the fill in the pagination. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yechla. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yechla, and Adam Achlokas. Now this goes back to the case in our Mishnah. Case they say now let's cook wine of truma. Now let's cook it. Chara ma'amim neshim ma'amitu ma'amidah. So one says because it loses volume. V'charina ma'amim neshim ma'amitu mishreis because less people drink cooked wine. It doesn't taste as good. Lo yadin mana mardo. We didn't know which of the two said what. Min ma'adam Rabbi Yochanan tamon for that which Rabbi Yochanan said over there. Now, over there means, earlier in Masech, there was a case in Parak Beis, the end of Halacha Gimel, it said that, in middle of Halacha Gimel, so it said that Rabbi Huda said, that you're not allowed to take truma from cooked wine and non-cooked wine. It's not allowed to take truma from cooked wine and non-cooked wine. So it sounds like cooked wine is inferior. And in our Mishnah, Rabbi Huda, the beginning of our Parak, said you're allowed to cook wine. Because it makes it superior. So it's a contradiction, Rabbi Yehuda. One place Rabbi Yehuda says, it seems to say you're not allowed to take from cooked wine and non-cooked wine, which seems to indicate that it's inferior. Yet here it says you're allowed to cook the wine, which seems to indicate that it's superior.
But here you're using the wine to make something else taste better.
No, this is a separate case in our Mishnah. Look back in the Mishnah. The last line in the Mishnah said, this is not putting it back in the fish brine.
The earlier Mishnah was cooked wine versus non-cooked wine. It also looks like two different products. That's why you can't take two from one on another.
We never saw that. No? We've seen that principle, but not by the cook. No. Now we're going to review the answers. Says more, Rabbi Yochanan said, Mimad or Rabbi Yochanan Tamon, Mechalfa Shitosei Rabbi Huda. That you have to read Rabbi Huda differently. Rabbi Huda really meant to say the exact opposite. You can't take from non cooked wine on cooked wine. Because Rabbi Huda, it's cooked wine tastes better. Because that's consistent with his opinion on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says he holds you allowed to cook wine. So Rabbi Yochanan said that you have to switch Rabbi Huda Shita. But all my Rabbi Elazar ain't a muchlefis. Rabbi Elazar, however, said that you don't switch around the shitas. And really, the truth is that cooked wine is inferior. You don't cook wine is inferior. However, kan b'koin, what do you have? Kan b'koin b'bailim?
Well, we switch right here. We're showing tamon b'koin with the kan
b'bailim. That's actually, I like that gears it better. Time on Bitcoin, Kamba Bailim is probably a better gear so than what I have. I don't know why he switches it.
But really what it means is that here, I see why, because Tamon, it's the Yerushalmi. Tamon, Ve'ov Yerushalmi, here means there and there means here. So Tamon really means in our case. Here it's the Kohen who's allowed to cook it. The Kohen's allowed to cook it because he says the Kohen's allowed to cook wine because for him it's superior. Really, cooked wine is in absolute terms objectively inferior. But here in our mission, talking about a Kohen who likes to cook wine. So he's an aberrant, a deviant Kohen. But he's allowed to, he's allowed to do it. So Kamba Kohen, there, but Bailim. There, a Kohen's not allowed to cook the wine. A Kohen's allowed to cook the wine because he likes it better. But owners, when they can't take up Truma, they should not take Truma from cooked wine, not cooked wine, because cooked wine is inferior. Have a Rabbi Yochanan who, so since Rabbi Elazar created that distinction between the Kohen and the regular, and the owner, Kohen and the guard, the Yisraelis take off Trumas from Isis. Heavy Rabbi Yechon, who do Omar, it must be. According to Rabbi Lezer, talking about a case where the Kohen already has it. So Rabbi Lezer can't be the one who said that by cooking it, you're going to diminish the amount of people who are going to drink it. On the contrary. Because according to Rabbi Lezer, the guy who was cooking it is the end user. Who are you depriving it of? It's already in the hands of the end user. So it must be Rabbi Yochanan's daughter said he can't cook it. Rabbi Yochanan's one who says you can't cook it because less people will drink cooked wine. Because although Rabbi Yochanan holds that according to Rabbi Yehuda, cooked wine is better, but not everybody likes cooked wine. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbanan hold don't cook the wine because less people will drink it. Rabbi Yehuda holds you can cook the wine because it's better.
I was going to ask you,
The same thing. Yain Mevushal doesn't, it's not supposed to taste as good. That's why there's no problem of Yain Nesach. Because the taka doesn't taste as good. We bask it, it doesn't taste as good.
I thought
that's what
it's not alive anymore.
What?
It's not alive anymore once you cook it.
The wine?
Yes, the wine.
No, that's nothing to do with it.
Okay.
I think they kill. I think that. I'm not sure. But that definitely has nothing to do with it. I didn't know that was scientifically true that the yeast was still working. Yeah, it's true. All right, but maybe it's true. Otherwise, we wouldn't turn the vinegar in the bottle. But in any event, so the thing is, the bottom line is that cooked wine, according to Rabbi Yehuda, might be better. But the Bible, Rabbi Yochanan says, Lamaisa, less people will drink it, right? Rabbi Lez, on the other hand, learns a whole Mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda allows you to cook it. It's talking about a case where the end user has it already. So you can't say less people are going to drink it as a result. So he must, according to Rabbi Lez, the reason our Mishnah is because there's going to be less to drink because some of it is going to evaporate when you boil away. Rabbi Shimon also said that the reason is because less people are going to be able to drink it because they don't, not so many people like cooked wine. Okay, Anta Alocha Beis Dvash Tmorim. Now, something we were talking about last night, and you were right about it. You'll see, obviously, we'll see. Dvash Tmorim, honey of dates. V'yayin tapuchim, and wine from apples, the chometz sidfonios, and vinegar, wine vinegar. Sidfonios are a certain kind of grapes which make vinegar. V'shar kol minei mei peros shel truma, and any other fruit juice of truma. What happens if you drink it or drink that fruit juice? Rabbi Elazar mechayev keren v'chosh. Rabbi Elazar says you pay keren and chomesh, the principal plus a fifth, because this is truma, it's bona fide truma. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not bona fide truma. Rabbi Elazar mitamei v'shumashka. Similar, Rabbi Elazar says all these things are tamei because they're regarded as beverages, meaning they're machshir l'kabel truma. If they fall on a fruit, they make it suitable to be mekabel tuma. Rabbi Yeshua said, "Lomud chachomi shiva mashkim." Chachomi, when they enumerated the seven blood liquids, they didn't count the kamoni ptomi like somebody who counts his wares, you know, a spice dealer, and said, "Oh, there's seven, but there are more." Elomru Shiva Mashkit's main Visharko Mashkitar, and they meant they're exactly seven, which can create Makshir Kabel Tumah, and all other ones are toy, they're not Makshir Kabel Tumah, and including all those in our Mishnah, they're not Makshir Kabel Tumah as well. Now, what are the seven we mentioned last night? I have them written down here. Atal, Dew, Mayim, Water, Yain, Wine, Shemen, Oil, Dam, Blood, Cholav, milk, udvash, devorim, and bee honey, not date honey. Okay? Havam boil meimar, says the Gemara. They wanted to say, ma pligin b'chomesh. Everybody, what do they argue about? The additional chomesh, the additional fifth, which a penalty, which a person who waits truma b'shoge pays a coin. Avol b'keren afro b'shua modi. But in terms of the principle, even Rabbi Shua agrees that since it was derived from truma, even though now it's a juice, so you if you drink it, you pay the coin for the principle. Ma pligin l'shuavar. What are we talking about also? When it was already, when it was after the fact. In other words, you had truma,
and fruit juice came out, was secreted by it. What's its status? Well, let's say you actually had orange juice before you took off Trumas and Maisers. So even Rabbi Yeshua agrees you have to take Maiser off the orange juice. In other words, where you had Truma and orange juice came out of it, so then we have all the machleksim in our Mishnah, if the orange juice has the same status as the Truma itself or not. But where you have orange juice before you take off, so everybody agrees that orange juice is chayiv in Truma. It's not exempt from the Truma. Truma is chayiv in. Vatan, you ask the Gemara, how can you say this? Didn't we learn? Dvash Morim, Rabbi Lezer, Machayiv, and Maisles, Rabbi Yeshua, Poiter. Rabbi Yeshua says you're exempt from giving Maiser on date honey, right? So says the Gemara, low kash, it's not difficult. Conscious of a Mishnitbu, it depends when the honey flowed out of the dates. If it was after it became Tevel. It's after the fruit itself was chayiv in Trumas and Maisers, such as it came into a house after Gemar Melocha, then there's no way to get out of Maisering the juice. Conscious of Achalonit Bulu, but if the fruit juice flowed out before it became Tevel, in other words, when it's still permissible to eat the fruit off the cuff without taking off Trumas and Maisers, if that's when the fruit juice flowed out, so then it's exempt from Trumas and Maisers. Umod Rabbi Lezer ever concedes, Shim Eser al Atmor, that even though Rabbi Lezer says that fruit juice is just like the juice of the fruit itself, he does concede this point. Shim Eser al Atmorim Kan. If you take Trumas and Maisers off the dates which are in front of you, then the fruit juice which was secreted, even if it's in another location, even if it's in the city of Aspamia, in the Boshan, which is far away, mutter becomes permissible. Milsi Amrof, this teaches us, that when you take Meiser from the dates on the honey, you do it according to the dates. Therefore, even if the honey has already been separated and carted off to some other city, you take the truma here on the date for the honey. Now, it's a very important machlokas we're about to learn. According to this approach, you don't have to take the amount of honey into account, because the honey is not in front of you, it's another city. So you don't actually know how much honey flowed out of these dates. Nonetheless, I look at the dates themselves and say, if it's good enough truma for the dates themselves, then the honey is as if I took off truma some mitzvahs on it as well. Okay? That's one opinion. Now we're going to learn another opinion. Tani, Rabbi Nosson Omer, Lo Rabbi Elazar Mechaye Ebe Maisres, it's not that Rabbi Elazar requires that the honey should get its own Maiser. Elish Rabbi Elazar Meshlo Yechami Atmarim, just Rabbi Elazar, you shouldn't eat from the dates. Achi Asher Zvash, until you take Maiser off on the honey. Milso Amarab, where Rabbi Nosson means to infer is, Shu Maiser Min Atmarim, that when you take Maiser off the dates, you would Lefid Vash U Lefid Morim. Here, according to Rabbi Nosson, you have to take both into account. He says you must know how much honey there is before taking the Trumas and Maisers from the dates. Is that clear what he's saying? What? He's got a problem. Danny's got a problem.
Can't you take an estimate?
For Trumas you can, but not for Maiser. He would have to have a problem. Maiser can't be estimated. It has to be exact. Okay, because the percentage. You can. That's true. You can add on. Yeah. Okay. Rabbi Lezer. Okay, I have a header here which you don't have. But we're talking. You do? You have Rabbi Lezer and Tommy Bechule. Boy, it's very random here tomorrow. Okay, Lezer and Tommy Bechule. Rabbi Lezer said that. These mashkim are mashkim are machshel kabel tuma. So says Moratani Rabbi Nosson Noimer. Nosson says a shocking thing. Lo Rabbi Lezer mitame mishum mashkim. It's not Rabbi Lezer holds that they're beverage. No. Aman echlekul the cool questions like this. Al shenofel atocha mashkim. A drop of water fell into a gallon of orange juice. What would you think happens to the drop of water? It's obviously a trick question, right? Right. But obviously this is what the Gemara is saying, it's not boto. The mashke of the mayperis are not sufficient for the vata water. On the contrary, the water changes the characteristic of now this mixture. It's a shocking concept.
But that's what Rabbi Nosson says, Rabbi Lezer. Water fell into the fruit juice. In that case, they say, Rabbi Lezer mitame mishum mashke. Lezer says, now it's we all regard as being a beverage. Say we go after the majority of substance. I'll die to the Rabbi Nosson. Sorry.
The
whole Mishnah, this is a separate issue in the Mishnah. We're talking about Stam, where the orange juice can be machshir l'kabel tuma. If orange juice falls on your apple, can you machshir l'kabel tuma? No. But if orange juice with a drop of water falls in your apple, can be machshir l'kabel tuma. That's what he's saying.
That's right, it's not
considered sufficiently diffused by virtue of the bag falling into this fruit itself cannot. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, Rabbi Eliezer, Shloshan Mudavar Achon, all these three Tanoim had a similar svore. Rabbi Meir, which is Rabbi Meir Duomar, he says Ein me peros b'teilim li'olam. Now, really, this is Yerushalmi, so Ein me peros b'teilim li'olam means may peros are never mevatel. May peros are never mevatel, they never cancel the water. The water always retains its character. That's what we just learned, right? Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, where did he see, he say something similar? It's not Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, Oymer, Tzir Tor, Shinova Tocha, Mayan culture, we had this really yesterday already. If you had fish brine, which water fell in, it's metame. In other words, the fish brine now can't be machshir something like kabel tuma because of the drop of water, which is very similar to the drop water in fruit juice. And hothin to Rabbi Lezer l'acha, which is the case for Rabbi Lezer, the third case, which is in line with the other two. My time to Rabbi Lezer. Now, getting back to Mishnah, Rabbi Nosson says it's only because there's water in the fruit juice. And the water in the fruit juice is what's machshir l'kabel tuma. But the Pashup Shana Mishnah says that the fruit juice itself is machshir l'kabel tuma, according to Rabbi Lezer, not the water in it. My time with Rabbi Lezer, what's the logic of Rabbi Lezer according to the Pashup Shana in the Mishnah? See, because it says... Dumb question?
Yes.
What is fish brine? You salt the fish and stuff starts coming out of it.
So it's strictly no water added. It's whatever the natural juices of this fish.
Yeah. You salt any vegetable, you'll also get that kind of thing.
I understand, but typically you salt a schmaltz or a herring. That's what you soak it in water. That's not what's happening.
No. We don't have this anymore, obviously. Okay? My title is, what's the logic, Rabbi Lezer? See, it says, b'chol mashke. It says, any beverage. What does beverage mean? No matter what. Not just seven. My time to Rabbanan, what's the logic, Rabbanan? Asher yishoseh, something which is they normally drink. Supposed to fruit juice, which people don't normally drink. Now, they obviously didn't have the same customs we do. We drink apple juice, we drink orange juice. What? V8, right? Bloody Marys. So they didn't have it then back then. They didn't drink fruit juice. So therefore, fruit juice is not considered to be a mashke. There's questions where that halacha changed nowadays. Not clear. We don't know. We honestly don't know. Okay?
Why expand the takana?
What is the takana?
About what's Moksha L'Kabel Tum anyway?
No, it's a deraisa. The deraisa will only have psukim here. V'chol mashke. My time with the Rabbanan, what's the logic of Rabbanan? Asher yishos, it's got to be something which you drink. So we're learning out from psukim. We're going to continue with that thought further. Ma Rabbi Lezer, who does Rabbi Lezer hold like? Now, I don't know what gears you have here, but I think your gears are going to be a lot different than mine for the next two or three lines. My Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Akiva. Lezer, Rabbi Akiva. So Akiva, my Akiva says, Klal uprat, if you have a generality specification, the chazar v'kila, and then a generality again, hakol b'chlal, everything is included. Now,
That means one thing in the Bavli, but here in the Sharm means something completely different. It means that Rabbi Akiva holds that whenever you have a klal uprat uklal, you don't darshan klal uprat uklal. You darshan it ribui miut veribui. This one which you have sometimes the Bavli, where, but, you know, it's quite more explicit there, that there's a basic revelation in Rabbi Akiva Shmuel throughout Shas. Do I darshan, according to Rabbi Shmuel, there are klal uprats, prat uklal, klal uprat uklal, etc., etc., as it says in the price of Rabbi Shmuel at the end of Karbanos, right? According to Rabbi Akiva, there's no such thing. Everything is ribui umiut. And ribui umiut is a far more inclusive tool than klal uprat. Because ribui means everything is included. Miut is memait, one thing. Whereas klal uprat means, oh, the generality is limited by being very similar to the specification. So therefore, Rabbi Lezer dashes the pasuk like Rabbi Akiva. For Rabbi and Rabbi Akiva, and this is even greater than Rabbi Akiva, to Amar few klal uprat. Because Rabbi Akiva concedes that when you have a ribu you mute, then you remind something, right? To Rabbi Eliezer saying, do I feel cloud prat or kol b'chlal? Then we have a cloud, which is kol mashke. And then a prat, asher yishoseh. He just ignores the prat, and it says that any beverage is included in that which is mashke l'kabel tumor. Rabbi Priguri, the kesari namar, Rabbi Priguri of Caesarea said, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shmuel. No, let's keep it going, Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that you do dash in klal uprat. Kachi, I made sure Rabbi Lezer Chomim, where this is Rabbi Lezer said to Chachomim. Kimodi, Yislachon, Asher Yochel. What do I do with your prat? Just like you hold it to Asher Yochel, which it says I forget what it says there, boy. What? Yeah, I don't know what it's talking about there, Vayikra. Anyway, there it says Shere Chol Pratim Achalso Lochalso Ruach, that it precludes food which is rotting or disgusting. Kani Sashle Shere Shose. So do Shere Shose doesn't preclude any kind of beverage. It precludes Mashkes Ruach, a beverage which is disgusting. I'm relay. So they said to Rabbi.
So what's the net result right now at this point?
It's
not
focused. Korum Kiva, only 7 mashkin, and Korum Shmuel, everyone? No, the opposite. Korum Kiva, all mashkin. Korum
Kiva, all mashkin. Because he dashes ribui miut. So the miut is mamayat a.
One thing. And then the Gemara goes on to say that Korum Rabbi Akiva blesses, it's not even mamayat anything. That's saying Rabban Rabbi Akiva. Saying an even bigger Chish Rabbi Akiva. But here there's no meal. Whereas according to Rabbi Shmuel, we say, Ein b'klal l'mash b'prat. But the prat are the 7 things you drink. So therefore that's included in the cloud, no more.
So then according to people, every mash.
Right.
Bar none.
Is mash l'kabel tumah. That's right. Okay? Says Gemara, so what does he do with Asher Yishoseh? Now Rabbi Priguri is saying, the Rabbi Lez even works out like Rabbi Shmuel, Dashin's cloud prat. What is he doing with the prat, though? So the prat here comes to preclude only that which is already repulsive. Disgusting. I'm relay, so they said to him, no, ain't domin ochel l'mashkin. You can't draw a comparison between food and beverage. Loy matab ochel, you can't ochel v'saruach me korotor, maybe by food. You say that impure, disgusting food is not makshir l'kabel tumah, or whatever it is, not makshir, I forget what it is there in Vayikra, but it doesn't fulfill its purpose and its destiny. Tor mashkin, that might not be true by beverages, by mashkin, shekei mashkin surach meikor, there's a certain type of beverage which has been repulsive from the get-go. But still is makshir l'kabel tumah, the more later on we'll say it's salt water, even though it's repulsive makshir l'kabel tumah. So too, I'm going to say, I'm not going to say that Asher Yishoseh comes to preclude only repulsive liquids. You know why? Because there are repulsive liquids which are machshir l'kabel tumah, which is that seawater. And I'll show you a pasuk about that, but not yet.
Dover Acher, another way of refuting Rabbi Eliezer is Loya Ma'atav Ochlech Shkein Ochlech Miuchani Lada Metzicha Machshava could be by foodstuffs are different because foodstuffs are considered to be foodstuffs if they're suitable for human consumption even without any proper designation. Torah Mashkin, but beverages Shkein Mashkin Miuchani Lada the certain beverages which are destined to be consumed by a human being such as rainwater but nonetheless Tzichem Machshava they need thought. In other words, rainwater, if it falls in your fruit, is not automatically machshir kabel tumah. You need to want the rainwater. We learned that in Masechta Shabbos recently. You need to want the rainwater. So it could be that for, could be that by water there's there are more special parameters. Could be that by mashkin, which are machshir kabel tumah, you need more stringent parameters. Right? And that's this is one of the more stringent parameters. I share you shall say. Right? We nation tzichem machshava. Yay, mashkin suruach. So no, so says the Gemara. You know what? We made the tzrichim machshava. If they need machshava, yay, mashkin suruach tamei. So what do you want to say? Rabbi Lezer was coming to say. Let's go through the steps here. Rabbi Lezer was coming to say that Asher Yisoseh, Asher Yisoseh comes to preclude mashkin suruach, comes to preclude repulsive liquids. Says more, if anyway you need a machshava to make beverages suitable lahachshir lekabel lahachshir letuma, so once that machshava works, that machshava should work for mashkis suruach as well. Thought overrides natural repulsion, so therefore it should work, right? So how can you preclude mashkis suruach? Save it told to contingent on machshava, so machshava should work for mashkis suruach as well. Adaraba. Holivain Tsrichim Machshava Ye Mashkisaruch Tahar. Want because the Mashkisar since they need Machshava the Mashkisaruch should be Tahar? No, it should still be Tame. At Dovrach. So it says more you show me this Dovrach does not mean another answer, it means Ella. Rather. Let's go. We can't. This is what they meant to say. Amr lo loy ma'atav ochlish ken ochle beim aladam einam boy b'machshava. By food, we preclude disgusting food. You know why? Because food is special, unique. Food you can't designate if you have ochle behema, such as one of the herbs which normally only animals eat, and you want to designate it for human consumption. You can't do it until it's severed from the ground. Can't do what's still growing. Torah v'mashkin, that's not true by beverages. Shkei mashkin behemol l'odem boim b'machshova. There's a case where there's liquid in the ground, such as rainwater. You can designate it when it's still mechubar l'karka. You don't have to pick it up in a bucket and say, oh, now it's for human consumption. Even if it's still in the ground, I can still designate it for you for human consumption. So, v'tani came, learned it a brisa. Mashke on the ground, which is the same. In other words, when it's in a crack in the ground or in a spring or anywhere.
Any beverage is mashke kabatu matam lo sheishoseh. Pradla mashke suruch di verbi lezer. It precludes disgusting liquids. On below they said, there's no beverage in the world which is not suitable at least for birds or for cows, and therefore all beverages are machshel kabatuma even if they're repulsive, because as long as they have machshava on them. It's true, you need machshava, but the machshava works even if it's repulsive. So they rejected his assumption that Ashei Shoseh comes to preclude repulsive liquids. And therefore they're learning Ashei Shoseh comes to preclude everything. As long as it's not one of the seven mashkin, which we have in tradition, are the bona fide mashkin. Okay? Yeah. No, it means that it changed. It rotted. We're talking about fresh blood suitable for vampires. For the expiration date. With Tzoruch where it went bad. Okay? Chavrai b'shem Rabbi Lezer. The Chavirim said name Rabbi Lezer. Mod Rabbi Lezer Chachomim. Rabbi Lezer could see the Chachomim. B'mashke suruch me'koro shu tome. That a mashke which was suruch from the get-go. In other words, it began repulsive when it was born, so to speak, that it is machshel kabel tumah. What's the case? Well, today we learned it. Asking where, how can you say this? How can you say that he agrees? Well, today then we learned that he disagrees. We learned it a brayso. Hamoyel ayyotim, ma'am, if you have secretions which come out of olives, then Rabbi Elazar mitar chol mitami. Rabbi Elazar says it's not machshel kabel tumah. So we see it's not true. We see Rabbi Elazar argued even by something which is saruach from the get go. Says more, you're right. What was the case in which Rabbi Elazar conceded? Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar said, "Moda Rabbi Eliezer lechachomi b'mei yamagodo by seawater." That's the case he meant to concede. Why by seawater? Because shafilo intzruchim akosu koritz amayim. Even though they're repulsive from the beginning because of salt water, the teiro calls them waters. Okay, shenemar. It says, "Mikveh amayim to the collection of waters, Hashem kora yamim called seas." Rabbi Yaakov said, "Mishem Rabbi Avo said, Moide Rabbi Lez Chachomim, Rabbi Lez Ketzid Chachomim, b'meitchodin u'meishloko she'en machshirin, by beet water and by water in which vegetables are cooked, that they're not machshir l'kabel tumah." This is a very difficult line because it's water. You put water in the pot. So why is it not machshel kabel tumah? Especially the Gemara Bracha says if you eat that water, you make a bari pre'etz on it, or bari pre'adamah. Right? Because it's considered to be very similar to the fruit itself. So the answer is, that's really the answer, according to one opinion. That it's not water. It's become a part and parcel of the fruit of the vegetable which has been cooked in it. Okay? So therefore, it's not machshel kabel tumah. That's a make a bar pre'etz on it or bar pre'adama. But if it's cooked fruit or cooked vegetables, even on the waters, you may call it the etz adama. That's one interpretation. I'm sure the Rosh Sirileo says that this is talking about a case not where there was water in the pot, but rather like the fish brine secretions from the vegetables themselves. And that's why they're not machshel kabel tumah.
First of all, cannot be according to what we have before by Rabbi Elazar ben
Shimon. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon?
No, he talks about seer, because his logic was any kind of liquid added is
right.
The should be no.
Well, it's only if you intended to drink them as beverage. That's where you're right. I'm not sure you would learn the difference. I don't know. It's possible that he would argue on this tomorrow. Okay. Says Gemara, Lo Amar Chachamim Shema. Oh, do you have this role? What do you have next? Okay, I have a header. Then we're getting back to the case where there's seven mashkin. Rabbi Yehoshua Ben Shimon Yochai said, "Im Yomel Chol Adam Shmona Mashkin." If a person says there are eight beverages, and Marlo, they said they're barely even say to him in response and refutation, they're barely even seven. Marlo, tell him, "Hagei Tal Mai Min Echore." Because dew and water are really the same type. Monason Chachom Shlain Chachom Kav them is two. Lavalon Choron, if we had, or even more, Lo Havon Menune, wouldn't we have counted them since they're not there? So therefore, this is it. There are only seven, there aren't eight. Okay? Halacha Gimel. Cooking with gas today. And I'll see you tomorrow in Dvash. You're not allowed to make from dates honey. You're out to make from apples wine. It's not allowed to make from grapes, vinegar, v'shar kopers, and any other fruit. Even shani milsom mibriyason. One is not allowed to change the way they grew. The truma meiser sheni when you make them truma meiser sheni. Ella zaysim anoyim vad, except for olives and grapes, where it's permissible. Ain't soaking this our boy. Nishum orla. If somebody eats an orla product of any of these trees, you're not chayav 40 lashes. Ella yaitzim mina zaysim anoyim. Let's say it came out of olive oil, unless it's olive oil or grape juice. Vein v'im bikurim mashkin, and you cannot bring Bikurim, which are in liquid form, except for olive oil and grape juice. And the only thing which is mashal kabel tuma is olive oil and grape juice. They markim hagan zbech, and one cannot sacrifice zbech, anything other than that which comes from olives in the form of olive oil for the menachos, and grapes in the form of wine for the nisul chayin. Okay? Let's go to the Gemara. Abila b'shem Rabbi Lezer. Anybody see that? Rabbi Elu b'shem Rabbi Lezer. Elu said name Rabbi Lezer. Kini mas nisin. This is the way to read our Mishnah. Fascinating thing. There's a contradiction between our Mishnah and Mishnah Chalo. Mishnah Chalo, though it's not brought here, says that Yosef HaKoyen brought Bikurim from wine and oil, and they didn't take it from him. Didn't take it from him in the Beis HaMikdash. So they asked the Kasha, it said, how can you reconcile with our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says you can bring it. Oil and wine is the only type of Bikurim you can bring in liquid form. So what's the, how do we reconcile the Stira? So it says, I'll tell you how we do it. Rabbi Yehuda Elah, which Rabbi Elah said, Kini Mas is the way to read our Mishnah. Ein osin bikurim mashkiim. El yoytim nazeisim enovim. It means that one cannot make the Kohen who got the Bikurim cannot make them into Zeisim Anovim, into fruit juice, unless it's olive oil or grape juice, which is going to get out of it. Okay? Let's see that again. You have a Mevian, I think, but it's supposed to be Osim. A Kini Mas is the way to read our Mishnah. Ein Osim Bikurim Mashkin. There in Chala it says you can't bring Bikurim from Mashkin, from beverage. Right? Even from wine and oil. Here, you can bring Bikurim from... Oh, wait. Huh?
No, not by Bikurim. Yeah, before we said you can.
Now we're switching topics. Now we're on Bikurim. Yeah, I was right. Our Mishnah is talking about Ein Osim Bikurim Mashkin. Our Mishnah says, the Mishnah over there says you don't bring Bikurim from wine and oil. Even from wine and oil. All Bikurim you bring has to be in the fruit form, not in a additionally processed form. That's what Mishnah says over there. What's the Mishnah saying over here? So we're changing here, saying in our Mishnah says Ein Osim. Meaning that the Kohen himself, once he gets the Bikurim, can't use the Bikurim for any other purpose except the original foodstuff, with the exception of olive oil and grape juice. He can press olives and press grapes, which he gets, in order to make olive oil and grape juice. But that's the only exception. Okay? Says the Gemara, Vafilim Mishazachu Ban Bailim. Even once the Bailim acquired even once the Kohen accepted him, so then he can, either the Kohen accepted the Kohen is still limited from squeezing the fruit, except the only thing he can squeeze and make juices or oil out of it is olive oil and grape juice. Okay, Vatanya. Hi, did we learn a price? No matter how you bring it. So it's a kasha. This Bryce says that you can make Bikurim out of fruit juice. Contradiction. Says, well, Tamon. You don't have the word Tamon. It's in here. Tamon, Shalok, the Mishal, Yishrein, Amanas, Cain. You can bring Bikurim as wine and olive oil if that was the original intent when you made the Bikurim. You intended to bring it as wine and olive oil, then it's permissible. Okay? However, Bramocha Bishloi to Mishor Bishor Akam Naskein. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where you did not intend originally to bring it in that shape or form. Tani, we learned. Zaysim Shol Truma Tahoirim Yael Su Shemet. If you have oil of Truma, which is Torah, you can make from it, or you can, if you have olives of oil, which is Torah, oil of truma, which is Torah, you can make from it. Two. You have olives. You can make olive oil from them. Very simple. Okay, you have olives and truma, you can make olive oil from them if they're Torah. It's main. Lo yasu shemen. However, what happens if you have tummy olives? You can't make olive oil of truma from them. Vanovim, by grapes, bain to tomatoes, bain to horos, loyosu. By grapes, you should never, ever make, period. You should never, ever make any liquid out of them before you give the, you should just take, you use them as is. Rabbi Yaakov Omer Mishmo. Now, why is that? So the reason given is because that the grape juice or olive oil is more susceptible to kabel tuma than the grapes or olives themselves. By definition, it's already liquid, right? So therefore, it's better to live in a solid form as long as possible. The very mayor, Rabbi Yaakov Amir Mishmur, Rabbi Yaakov says his name. Oh no. Lo nechleku Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yeshua Zaysim Torim Sheyeh also Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yeshua never argued on Torah Zaysim that they can be made into to olive oil and grape juice. Aman echlu, where they argue in Alat Main on Tomei grapes and olives. Rabbi Lezer Mer Lo Yesu, you shouldn't make them into grape oil, grape juice and olive oil. Rabbi Shumay Yesu, they're allowed to. Rabbi Ruanovi Torahis, what about grapes? If they're Torah Yosu, they may eat grape juice. Tomatoes, if they're Tomei Yosu, they cannot. Om Rabbi Nassan, Moida Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Bezeisim Torahim, and Anovi Torahis, if they're both Torah, she Yosu, you can make them with olive oil and grape juice. Amanach Lugua, they argue on Tomeim, on two types of the times it's Tomei. Rabbi Lezer, Lo Yosu, Rabbi Lezer says you can't make them into olive oil and grape juice. Rabbi Yeshua Meyosu, Rabbi Yeshua says they can. Amar Rabbi, Rabbi said, more than a lesser Rabbi Yeshua Bezazim Torahim, Lezer and Yeshua both concede by kosher by Torah olives, Sheyosu, that you can make them into olive oil. But no having tomatoes, Bezazim Tomahim, if you have Tomei olives or grapes, Sheyosu, you can't make them into grape juice or olive oil. Amanach, what's their machlokas? Ala novin Torahs, only on kosher grapes. Rabbi Lezer Mer Lo Yasu, says you can't use them if they make to press into grape juice and olive oil. Shumay Yasu, Rabbi Shur says you can. Now it's all very confusing, so he has a table here. You guys all see? According to Rabbi Meir, okay, here's the table. You have olives and grapes, each one Torah and Tomei. According to Rabbi Meir, according to Tana Kama, by olives which are Torah, you can press them. Out your tummy, you can't. Why? Because we're afraid you're going to leave it around and use it for improper purpose.
Use it for oil and burning.
What?
Burn,
yeah, but we're afraid you're not going to get it. You might actually eat it. Okay, so by grapes, regardless of whether they're Torah tummy, you can't use them out, or you can't press them. Even if they're Torah, why? Because they're more likely to become tummy, so you can't press them. Period. Okay. Now, going down the line, Rabbi Yaakov holds that in Rabbi Eliezer, all three boxes out of four are the same. So both Rabbi Eliezer and Mishu hold that by Torah olives, you may press them. They both hold that also by Torah grapes you may press them. Because he's not afraid that maybe, you know, something will happen and there'll be macabre to him or more. And they both agree that by Tomei grapes you're not allowed to press them because, again, you might use them improperly. What's their machlokas by Tomei olives? Rabbi Yaakov says you shouldn't press them, which makes sense because you might use the oil improperly. Rabbi Yaakov named Rabbi Led says you shouldn't press them. Rabbi Yaakov named Rabbi Shua says you can press them. Why can't you press them? Because you put them in a repugnant vessel, so you won't use them for anything other than burning them. You have a practical eitzah, and that practical eitzah is sufficient to permit the pressing thereof. Now, Rabbi Huda is almost exactly the same. Okay? It's just that he adds on a machlokas in Tomei grapes.
He holds Rabbi Yehuda holds that both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua agree that by Torah olives, you can press them. They have the same machlokas by Tomei olives as Rabbi Yaakov said. That according to Rabbi Elazar, you cannot press them. According to Rabbi Yeshua, you can press them. They both agree that by Navi Torahs, you may press them. What's their additional machlokas? What about by Navim Tzmeos? So Rabbi Yehuda says you may not press them because the Tomei is afraid you're going to eat them in the Tomei stage. Rabbi Yeshua says you may press them. Why may you press them? So he says very interesting thing, which you're going to learn in later. He says because once you press them, you're left with pits, and pits you can use as fuel. So it's advantageous to get any possible use out of truma that I can, even to use as fuel. So therefore, I should press them and use the pits as fuel. Okay? I guess they had thick pits in the old days. Finally, Rabbi holds again, both by Torah olives, everybody agrees you can press. By Torah olives, everybody agrees you cannot press. By Torah grapes, everybody agrees you cannot press. Where does Rebbe have machlokas, a new concept? He holds that by a novim toheiros,
we have a machlokas. Rabbi Elazar holds you cannot press them. I assume because they're going to, like Rabbi Meir said previously, because you might come to. No. But grapes, because they might come with kabel tuma. They're Torah grapes, so they might come with kabel tuma. According to Rabbi Yehoshua, you still can press them. Why can you press them?
Because he holds, like everybody else, that we're not afraid of this coming day tuma. Okay, so that's all the machleitzim. Bottom line is confusing Gemara.
Says Gemara further. Kol Amar Rabbi and Rabbi Meir. Everybody ganged up on Rabbi Meir. The whole nation ganged on Rabbi Meir. They went boo, boo, boo. And they all said, Banovi now on the top of Nun Volman Base, Banovi Toiros, Sheyosu.
If you have kosher grapes, not kosher, keep saying kosher. If you have Torah grapes, you should be able to press them.
Lomaloyosu,
why shouldn't you be able to press them? Says the one, Rabbi Meir responded, Chashuva saying lochel yitzir mashke. Now the Pashbashanim one means that grapes are better to eat whole than they are to eat as grape juice. And therefore Rabbi Meir says for that reason you can't press them. But that's very strange because we know grapes are worth a lot more as grape juice than as grapes. So therefore, it makes more sense. Like Kavanoki says, learn his other pshat that chashuva saying locha means they're more safeguarded from tuma as ochel than as mashkin. That's Rabbi Meir holds. Don't press them until the last possible moment, if at all. It's higher bracha. That's true. Yeah. Okay, that would be part of the question. Kama Rabbi Yehuda. Everybody can the Rabbi Yehuda, they booed him. By Novin Tomeo Shoy also. By Tome grapes, that's the point of pressing them. Male Tome olive oil. So you use it to burn it. And in the meantime, you keep it in a repulsive vessel, so you won't eat it. But what are you gonna do with Tome Truma grape juice? You can't use it as fuel. What's the use? It's useless. Why would you press it? Says the Gemara, like we said before, Bishvilenos mina chatzogim mina zagim, to have the north of the pits and husks and skins, which you will use in order to light your fire. Zaysin Tmei, by Alv de Tratome, Rameir, for Rebbe Rameir Chat, Rebbe Rameir both say the same thing, meaning that by olives which are Tame, right? What are we talking about? Yeah. Bible to Chatame, Rabbi and Rabbi Meir both said you shouldn't press them. Rabbi and Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yehuda both said that at least in Rabbi Yehoshua, we always pass them like you can press them. So says Mara, Hechavdin Uvta, how do we know what to do? The answer is we don't know what to do. It's not resolved. But the Ram says a fascinating thing. Ram says, what do you do if you have tummy olives and you want to press them and use the oil, which is truma? So he said, you can press them. As long as they don't have a kibbutz in one place. Because remember, the mashkin only get tame as they leave the original location. And here in this case, we're talking about Tumas Ochlin, and Tumas Ochlin only can come from a substance which is the size of kibbutz. So therefore, as long as you have in each location the amount of vowels which are less than the size of kibbutz, you can press them. Why can you press them? Because as the olive oil comes out, it remains tar, and that's okay. So the only thing they're talking about here, cases where the olive oil becomes tar, and you press it, that's where there's a problem. Okay? Says the Mishnah further. Says the Mishnah further. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Uksei teinim. If you have the piston in a fig, you know the. Piston is probably the wrong word. The stem. Right. That's sort of the buchta. Uksetanim ugrogros, and the stem of a date. Vaklisim, and the stem of some other type of fig. Vacharuben, and the stem of carob. Shol truma. Asun lazorim. You can't eat the stems. Why not? Says the Gemara. Rabbi Zir Hashem, Rabbi Lezer said, Oma Stisa, our mission story about Muvlos Ba'ocha, where the stems are somewhat stuck into the food. So they take on the flavor of the food, that's where they're also. Could call Rabbi Zir, so Gemara tells the principle, I don't know how you have it there, but call Rabbi Zir the Trumas or the Taros, anytime Rabbi Zir appears in Trumas and Taros, Hashem, Rabbi Lezer, the statement is making the name of Rabbi Lezer. Halacha Dalet. Garine Truma. We did two blood already, right? Okay, let's just do a little bit extra. Garine Truma. Bismachu Machnoson. If you collect Truma seeds, if you gather them asuros, watermelon seeds from Truma, now they become Truma, right? Imishlichon, if you throw them out, Mutaros, then a Zohar can come and eat them. So really it's a subjective thing, depending on whether this guy keeps them or throws them out. V'chein atmos kachim, so to the bones of a carbon. V'zmanchim achnos, if you gather them, asurim, gives the chashivas. Imishlichon, if you toss them out, Mutarin, then they're permissible. Why? Because again, they're not edible and they lost their chashivas and they got thrown out. Let's see the Gemara. Hamurson mutar. Husk of wheat of truma is permissible. Subin shel chadosh is the bran of new wheat, which is still somewhat moist. The bran is inside the husk. Asuros is forbidden. The shel yishonos of older wheat, where it's drier and tougher, it's mutter because it's always truma. V'noi b'truma k'derek shenoi b'chulin. In general, this is part of the Mishnah. I'm sorry, I told you it's a Gemara. It's far in the Mishnah. Yeah, sorry, my mistake. Okay, it's far in the Mishnah. He has several paragraphs, so I was mistaken for the Gemara, but it's in the Mishnah. Generally, you can sift truma the same way you sift chulin. Okay, in sifting, even though you lose some stuff in the process, it's okay. Okay, you still have to sift normally. Hamasalis, however, what if you sift a second sifting? In order to keep the coarser kernels of grain, which is called soles, and toss the finer kernel of kernels of flour. Sorry, of flour. So Hamasalis, kavukabayim, if you're doing the second time around, and you're losing a kav or two for each sa'ah, which is what you're losing from, which is the finer flour, well, you're taking out a kavukabayim, I'm sorry. You're taking out 1/6 to 1, or 1/6 or 2, 1/3, and the rest is those fine flour. You can't let that go to waste. You have to keep it in some safe place and use it, because that's already too much waste from truma. It's not permitted. Along the idea of how we conduct ourselves with truma, if you have a warehouse from which you emptied out grain of truma, you don't have to go down on your hands and knees and get out each kernel of truma which might be left on the floor. Sweep it out like normally, but notice into it. So, if you have a barrel of truma oil and stuff, spilled out. We don't require you to gather up the truma by patting every single last oil so you can get out all the oil. So cleanup is the same cleanup you would normally do by chulin. Okay, now let's go to the Gemara. Sorry. Garine truma. Do you have those words? The seeds of pears, crustumillion, and another type of pears, imastisa, has to be an edible pit. A non-edible pit has no kedusha struma to it, period. It's not about edible, just not everybody eats them. So it depends if you're keeping them or throw them out, it becomes subjective. Rabbi Elazar said about filu tamar b'garine harotev. You know, I can really tell you about date pits, which are completely inedible. They're really tough. They're like wood. However, b'mchusaros, and they could have they might even have no food content in them. They might be missing any food content. But lematzmeitz, you want to suck them. You want to suck them. That means the juices inside have kedushas truma. V'atin asks Gemara, so what's comparison to bones? V'atin v'chena tzomas kedoshim. Yisoch ha'meir v'chusaros lematzeitz. It's talking about bones which have no food content, meaning no marrow. So what are you sucking by the bones? So this is more, the bones is different, you're right. So bones are about loberoshik nefayim b'schusim. It's talking about the tips of the wings and the cartilage, which are soft enough that if you cook them, you can eat them. And that's why it's subjective. If you toss them out, they remain cartilage. If you cook, you set them aside for cooking, though, then they still are considered to be part and parcel of the korban and are still kodesh. Our mission is to tell you about the tips of the wings and the cartilage, and that's why it's subjective. Have a good evening.